Welcome to the Real Momentum Podcast with Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs. This is a program that encourages and challenges men through biblical discussions on manhood, interviews with key leaders, and powerful messages from a variety of different speakers. Everything that the Real Momentum Podcast does is focused on one mission: helping men win. Let's see what Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs has for us today on the Real Momentum.
Yeah, yeah. I think that verse really does come into play, and I'll let you, Mike Spivey, speak to this too as you think about this. The fear of man brings a snare. So who really is in the snare? Not only you as a father,
yeah,
but also you put your children in the snare and their freedom to, you know, to go and roam, yeah, because you don't have the courage to actually lead out confidently. So Mike, you can share, yeah, some of that. I'm sure you got two boys and a girl, and navigate some of that for the last several years. So maybe speaking of that.
Yeah, I got enough kids where I'm listening and writing things down as you talk. I tell people all the time that you know, I graduated MDiv, I went to school, but the two hardest things I've ever done are also the two biggest blessings in my life, and that's marriage and parenting. And those things are hard, but they reap some of the greatest blessings and privileges in my life. But yeah, I think you're right. I think what we're saying here is, you know, we're held captive by what other people, that snare, we're held captive by what other people say, think, and see us, right? And Jesus dealt with this, did he not, with all the religious leaders? You're so concerned about doing your acts of service in front of people that, and there is a reward in that. Jesus said there is a reward. You'll be rewarded by man. But when you pray, when you give, when you do your charitable deeds, do them in the quiet where your Father alone sees you, the audience of one, and there I'll reward you. So I do think we get in that snare, that trap of Facebook, keeping up with other families. Well, you're right. Our kids, we were the lone ones. My boys are in 10th grade or going to 11th grade, and they just got a cell phone. And we were, I think we're going to have to expect for people to say things about us. If you're going to live in the fear of God and not in the fear of man, Jesus said they, in Matthew 5, they will say something. They will persecute you, revile you, say all sorts of things about you for my name's sake. At the end of the day, you're right. I answer to him how I raise my kids. You know, God gave them to us to watch over, to steward, to raise and unleash into this world. And yeah, I hate that people often say that about homeschool or whatever, about you're not preparing them. Here's what I like to tell parents all the time, because I hear parents sometimes, I think the fear of failure is one of them, Keith, about men have failed in parenting, they have failed in marriage, and there's that fear of failure of not being able to lead them spiritually. And that's just something the enemy's trying to keep them captive to, that they can't, you know, that what the Lord can't do with them. But I tell parents all the time, I've had parents tell me sometimes that, I'm just going to let them live it up and do the things that I did and get it out of their system so they'll come back. I've had church folks tell me this. And I looked at one dad in the face and said, what makes you think the enemy's going to let them go? Like, how do you, he seeks to, his vision statements in the Bible, he seeks to steal, kill, and to destroy. He doesn't play to keep, you know, to catch and release like we like to fish. He plays for keeps, man. He's wanting to destroy your child's life. He doesn't want to ruin them a little bit and then release them. And so this whole fear of parenting, not wanting to parent a certain way for what people may think or do, you're right. I mean, this, we're preparing them for eternity, right? So what does it profit if we gain the whole world but lose our own soul in this regard?
Yeah, looking at just going back to the family again, I think just the, and Mike spoke to this, Pastor Mike Stone did, he mentioned the world that you have in view, and, you know, maybe speak, add a little bit more to what we're trying to help guys get some handles on this, how to help men win in this area, you know, with conviction and clarity. What are some things a man can take out of a podcast where we're talking about this topic, but how can I begin the process of leading with courage and conviction, with clarity, and so my family knows where we're going? And where's a good place to start, Pastor Mike?
Well, I think one thing is having a biblical standard of what that goal is. One of the struggles we have in men's ministry and just dealing with men when it comes to spiritual things is an acceptance of mediocrity, acceptance of that apathetic Christianity, being content, as 1 Corinthians 3 describes, as being saved as though by fire, in other words, barely in the kingdom. That acceptance of mediocrity is killing so many of our families. When I preach and teach on these subjects, I hear men say things like, well, Pastor, we did those things and we turned out okay. Mm. And my response is, first of all, did you? Did you really turn out okay? And even if you did, what man in his right mind, when he's thinking biblically, wants his son or daughter to turn out okay? If you're sending your son out for Little League baseball, you don't want him to be an okay pitcher. You want him to be excellent. If they're playing in the band, you don't want her to be an okay clarinet player. You want her to be the best that God would have her to be. And so we've got to get away from this idea that mediocrity is accepted. But one word of encouragement that I would give, and I do give to men, is to parent with the long game in mind. Yeah. One reason that parenting can be so frustrating, I don't know any area of my life that where I can have soul-thrilling victory followed so quickly by bone-crushing defeat. I mean, sometimes it happen within the same meal around the table.
Yes.
There's conversation going on, and one of your children makes you feel like dad of the year, and a moment later, you feel like you're an abject failure as a father. So what you've got to have is that long-term view. You may think of the illustration of, you know, a retirement investment portfolio. It's going to go up and down, you know, from day to day and maybe from hour to hour, but you have that long-term view that over a 30 or 40 year period, your 401k is going to increase in value. So don't throw in the towel too quickly just because of failure. And feel that, well, this approach to godly Christian parenting and, you know, that it isn't working. It is if you have that long-term view, not only looking long-term to the end of that child's time in your home, the end of that child's time of their life, but looking into eternity. I regularly try to tell myself that I don't merely want to raise sons and daughters. I'm trying to raise the grandparents of my great-grandchildren. Hmm. And I want to parent and shepherd with that kind of view in mind.
Amen. And that's all got to do with perspective and that foundation, again, what the Lord allows us to be a part of, and a great understanding of Scripture. The last place we want to move to today would be on the church and the ministry of the local church. And, you know, obviously that includes pastoring and shepherding and tending to, taking care of the flock. With the care of the ministry and the equipping of the ministry. And at the same time, there's this thing called preaching. And you're one of my favorite preachers. I love your preaching and I love your pastoring. I love the leadership that you have in the context of that church, and the longevity of your ministry is obvious and seen in all the parts of the ministry there. I don't see you as a man handing something off to somebody, even though you have a team around you helping you. I think you're fully involved. And to me, that says a lot about your leadership. And so as you think about the local church and the impact that it has and can have, and what does it look like for a pastor to battle the fear of man from the pulpit and in the pastorate, so to speak, and then how do you guard against it personally when preaching the word and when having conversations and meetings and, you know, helping the church find God's way for what's next and their experience in the kingdom?
Yeah, the fact of the matter is, for those of us that are in vocational ministry, as we would use that phrase, my pastorate is not only my calling from God, but it's also my job. And we as men, you know, you ask somebody, what's their name and what do you do for a living? That's a very common primary question we men ask each other. And so you get that professional, vocational sense of fulfillment in ministry, in my case, pastoring the church. And so there is an innate desire to want to succeed, and to succeed at times by the standards of the world. How many did you have in Sunday school this week and worship this week versus last week? How much has your budget grown? How many have you baptized? And there's that comparative, at times even an unhealthy competitive spirit that can come. The best thing for me to battle that is to try to constantly remind myself, I've got one job. This is the Lord's church. I am at best middle management. I'm not responsible for the results. I'm responsible for being faithful to what God's called me to do. Paul said it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, not found successful, not found prominent, but it's required that we be found faithful. And when a pastor faithfully preaches the word, you're going to encounter passages that you don't even like to preach yourself. You don't even want to preach it yourself. So you're not surprised that other people didn't like it or didn't care for it, but I've got one job, faithfully preach the text, and then to faithfully lead the church. And we live in a culture. I'm sure it's always been this way to a certain extent, but when you faithfully say what thus saith the Lord, that will make some families leave about as fast as it makes others want to come.
Yeah.
And you've got to determine in your own soul that I'm gonna live and preach and pastor, minister for the applause of heaven, not based on what the statistics are, you know, within the church. And as a preacher, I will say one of the greatest practical tools that I've embraced is the idea of sequential expository preaching. It helps me preach with a greater sense of authority and freedom when I'm just preaching the next set of verses up. And it allows you, and at times forces you to deal with subject matter that you might not normally address, or to avoid hobby horses.
That's right.
I think you also innately, instinctively know that your congregation knows you're dealing with this subject, not because you're trying to hit somebody in the pew or address some issue in the church. But, you know, for example, you're preaching verses 5 through 10 because last week you stopped at verse 4. And so that gives a greater sense of authority. And I believe, as a practical matter, helps avoid some of that fear of man.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
If you've been enjoying the spiritual insights, stories, and practical strategies we share here on Real Momentum, the absolute best way you can support the show is by taking just 60 seconds right now to do two things. First, hit that subscribe or follow button. Subscribing ensures you never miss an episode of inspiration and that every new discussion is waiting for you the moment it drops. Second, please leave us a quick rating and review. Those 5-star ratings and your honest reviews are fuel for our show. They help other leaders like you find our ministry and keep the momentum building. But wait, there's one more thing. We don't just want to talk to you. We want to connect with you. We want to hear about your real momentum moments. You can find all of the show notes, resource links, and transcripts for this episode at realmomentum.men/rmpodcast. And please, join the conversation. Connect with us directly on all the social media platforms by searching for Real Momentum. Send us a DM or tag us with your biggest takeaway from today's episode. Thank you for being a part of the movement to reach and lead men to follow Christ.
You've been listening to Real Momentum, a co-production between Real Momentum and TIL Radio Network.